Live in Media Today, Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Talking NBA, Major League Baseball, about to probably get into football.
I wonder why.
Once we start talking about football, it kind of takes over the whole show. Right. But so the fellas got wise. They tricked me a little bit. We started talking about the Major League Baseball in the playoffs. So then, yeah, thanks to Ray Porter Jr. and then we started talking about NBA, and then Vince perked up over there as an NBA analyst. So now, Ray, it's your turn, man. We're going to talk NFL. And the reason I say that, if I may say, and I'm
if you may
again,
say,
Darius Leonard.
I tell you.
Indianapolis Colts. A beast. Yeah. He's a beast at what he's doing. And I know that this week he was kind of questionable going into that game that they had Thursday night. But still, his stats and everything up to that game, leading the league in tackles at one point as a rookie. I didn't even know he was going to start. But he was, a fourth-round draft pick, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess you would expect him to start. And he did start at that linebacker spot, which is just – he's just being in beast mode. He went to South Carolina State University at HBCU, which you all know I love my HBCUs.
Yes,
and
sir.
I just had to shout him out on that. Matter of fact, last weekend, and I didn't say it last week, but Tariq Cohen had a good game for the Chicago Bears last week, too.
And they look good overall. My goodness.
When you got Khalil.
Right. It's true. He lived up to his monies.
John Gruden. Chucky just doesn't know what he's doing right there. But anyway. Ezekiel Elliott, I'm thinking, what stories did you guys have this week? Anybody that stood out in your mind? I said Ezekiel Elliott because I think he's going to start to get his momentum, and I think he's going to make some things happen for Dallas. That's just my personal opinion.
Well.
Le'Veon Bell, everybody's talking about Le'Veon Bell. We really didn't say anything about him. Patrick Mahomes.
Unbelievable. That was my story.
Yeah, is that your story? Well, go ahead.
He has 14 touchdowns and no interceptions. I'm going to tell you, on Monday, I didn't really get a chance to watch the entire game against KC in Denver, and I just knew Denver was going to win.
I go
to sleep and wake up at 5 whatever in the morning, and hear that Mahomes got the winning touchdown. And then he made a left-handed pass. Kudos to the left-handers.
Right. That's me. Take that.
Yeah, see, look, we're on the same page here. I mean, kudos to this young man, again, that, what they call it, they say redshirted in football, sat behind Alex Smith, learned from Alex Smith, and he's out there balling, man. Yeah. Wow.
Now, it will be interesting this week. They play Jacksonville.
Oh, I hope they destroy them.
I have that marked as one of my games of the week.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey's chirping a little bit with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, no surprise. No surprise at all.
So, that should be an interesting game. I saw some people out there picking Jacksonville to win this game because of their defense. They already have a top-notch defense. I've been really bad on my picks this year, but – I wanted to pick KC because of Patrick Mahomes, and you know, not just it's everything that he's doing.
Yeah,
like at the moment that you count him out, you know he's got enough fortitude to come out, and you know he's not letting it, you know, him being down, he's not letting that affect him. So no matter what the game looks like, you know, he's still balling.
He is. He has a lot of heart. And one of the advantages I give KC is their home. You know, they still play well at Arrowhead. And then also, you know, they got decent defense too, a little bit of decent defense. And when Jacksonville lost a few weeks ago, you ain't hear nothing out of Ramsey.
Right.
So it's time to, I mean, I respect his game, but it's time to shut him down and shut him up. So what you think about the rematch of the NFC Championship game happening? Minnesota versus Philly.
You know, I wanted to mark this as a game of the week, but it's Philly is kind of they're kind of sputtering.
Yeah,
and Minnesota is too. Like, you know, their defense is not looking as stout as it was last year, and they're just not explosive on offense.
Yeah.
It's kind of mirror images to me. You know, both teams they're just kind of muddling along. And just haven't hit their stride. Maybe that has something to do with, you got a new quarterback coming in, getting used to the system. You have Carson Wentz on Philly coming back from the ACL tear, just trying to get himself back into game shape. So maybe it takes him a few weeks to get going, you know, to get that magic back. I pick Philly to beat Minnesota this weekend. Yeah,
Philly gonna beat them.
Yeah,
I believe that.
But I picked them a couple weeks ago and they disappointed me. So yeah, I'm not sure what to make of them.
They tried to fool you, man. No worries.
Yeah, I gotta go with Philly in that one too.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to make a point that I made earlier with Darius Leonard. I'm going back to this defense and talking about the Colts defense. I know he didn't play Thursday because of his ankle. But the reason I even talk about him again is because he's averaging double-digit tackles.
Yeah.
In his first four games as a rookie.
What a season, man.
And then he had except for the he's averaging them because the first game he had 9 tackles total. But then after that, it was double-digit tackles. And he's had at least eight tackles solo. In each game, and I just think that's just tremendous.
He is. I mean, he's taking it by storm. I mean, I think about all the other linebackers that folks had not put stock in when they were drafting, and they just came out and just took it. I mean, Matthews from Green Bay was another one. All the players that passed him up, and then you look at J.J. Watt as well. So it's just nice to see. So I hope he snatches that offensive rookie of the year. He might be the contender for defensive player of the year.
You said
defensive rookie of the year, right?
Yeah. Oh, maybe he could. He could. So my question to you guys is this: you're talking about Minnesota and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Will Philly hit that sophomore slump type of thing? Where, you know, where you win the Super Bowl and then the next year you're kind of not the power that you were the previous year.
I hate to say it, but there's a reason why it's just so hard to repeat in football, you know? I mean, last team to do it was New England. And it's hard. And teams get the tape, they review it, they emulate. Look at what Cleveland did. They did the QB special.
Right.
You know, so I think that Philly at this point is no longer the powerhouse of the NFL.
Okay. I mean, I can take that. I don't have a problem with it. You got new blood that was injected in with the rookies. Some teams got stronger with free agency. I understand that. And you just said QB special. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I like that because I have to say, and I was not a Baker Mayfield fan.
And neither was I. I was not.
From what I've seen in his professional career in his first two games, I'm not disappointed if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
There's a lot of heart.
I
mean, man.
I was pulling for Tyrod, who's just coming back. I think he's just getting off the concussion protocol type of thing. But he's not going to get the starting job back unless an injury happens to Baker Mayfield, of course. But Baker looks confident. He wants to get the ball there. Mm. And he's telling you, I'm going to get the ball there.
Right,
it's your job now to stop me from completing what I'm setting out to do. Right. I like that in the quarterback.
Yeah. No complaints from me either. No, sir.
So did he just save Coach Jackson's job?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, I as an organization, I think you got to ride with Hugh Jackson. I think you have to have continuity. I mean, unless I know he's like, there's a lot of people who aren't fans of his, you know, media and fans. So like, I constantly read stories about sort of, for lack of a better term, is incompetence as a head coach. You know, they bring out this player or that series and think that someone else could do a better job. I even read a story that said that the coach from Oklahoma, his name's not coming to me right now, but the head coach from Oklahoma could be a candidate to replace Hugh Jackson if Hugh Jackson stumbles. Which I think is stupid. I mean, how often do college head coaches do well in the NFL?
Not at all. Just ask Nick Saban.
Right. And then the other thing that I don't think people are thinking about is, okay, so if you decide to get rid of Hugh Jackson and Baker Mayfield is the guy from the front office standpoint, if you bring in a new guy, doesn't Baker Mayfield have to be his guy?
Has to be.
And so how do you, you know, you're going to have a, if you bring in a new coach, he is going to be tied to this quarterback just because of the circumstance. Not like I came in and I picked this guy. I picked my quarterback. He's going to be tied to Baker Mayfield's success. And I personally, I would like to see Hugh Jackson play it out. Give him a couple years, whatever his deal is, let him ride it out. And, you know, just, you know, have some continuity to your football team.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they need. I mean, look at what he survived. He survived the 1-15 team. He survived the 0-16. And slowly but surely, we've seen them
build up. But if you look at it, the way the team was broken down, you know, they got rid of a lot of players.
Right, right.
And whether that was the previous regimes, whether it was their bad picks or whatever, when you break down a team, there's no way you're going to be able to compete right away. There has to be some point where, I mean, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle with who these guys are, who you're trusting the players are. You're trusting a scheme, whatever's in place. You're trusting the coaches to coach up these players. So I'm not surprised that they went 0-16 last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not something you plan on doing, but it wasn't to be expected, because you expect to go out and win
at least
a football game.
Yeah.
But when you look at how they broke this team down, I'm not surprised that they didn't win a game, and I'm not surprised that now, because they're starting to build this team back up, and they're keeping their core players, and they're coaching up. You know, you got some depth. So now you're coaching up players. So the team is headed in the right direction because they have talent, because they have some continuity in place, and you have to see that through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, patience. Mm-hmm. Basically what it is right there.
Mm-hmm. So now I agree with everything you just said, and I think it can happen. But again, like I said, I can see what you're saying. So his success is not attached to Baker Mayfield.
Well, if you bring in a new guy, I think that Hugh Jackson's, if I'm the front office, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I'm the owner, I'm sticking with Hugh Jackson this year.
Okay.
I'm sticking with him this year. And, you know, if you've already seen this team playing harder, playing better than they have in the past. So as long as we continue to trend in that direction, then his job is safe. Okay. Because at some point, you know, like the most of the players on this team have lost. They've been a part of the 0-16. You brought in some new faces who you brought in to help turn that around, who changed the culture. So you're letting that happen. So you have to continue to let it happen. The only reason you get rid of Hugh Jackson is if he just loses this team, not continues to lose, but he loses this team to the point where the team is not responding to what he's putting out there, what situations he's putting them into. If they're not responding, then you have to make a change.
Okay. I get that.
And speaking of quarterback changes, what some of us did predict last week would happen did happen. We were talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, sir.
I knew you were going to say
yes,
that.
Sir. I mean, it was just like a script, because we were like, as soon as Tampa Bay lost, the change of swap was on. Period.
And that's what Vince said. Vince was strong on that one, but I was thinking, play the hot hand. Just go with the man with the hot hand until he's not hot anymore. So obviously, that was last week. I didn't know it was going to be last week, but excuse me, I get it. So, but now it's the pressure's on Jameis, right? He got to perform.
Yeah, you do, and thank you, Will. I mean, he threw for 4,000 yards in his rookie year. You know, he had a good year last year. He just got to keep keep his stuff together off the field.
Yes, I agree. I think he just has to continue to progress on the field. You know, just get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be a leader on that team. The biggest pressure for him is off the field.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, can you keep your stuff together?
Yeah.
Like you said,
because he's a talent that just speaks for itself. I mean, he's loading up the NFC. I mean, yeah, Cam Newton. You have several other great quarterbacks, and he's up in there too. I mean, he's what Tampa Bay needs, that shot in the arm. Especially, right. especially with them receivers.
I give you that. That's the end of the third quarter. We got one more quarter left. Yeah, we play a full game here. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. We'll be right back after this.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports, fourth quarter. If you missed the first three quarters, you did miss some information. Vince and Ray over here got deep on us. But it was always is good information. So we're still talking NFL right here, right now. We talked about Major League Baseball. We talked about the NBA. We talked to NFL. Now, it's interesting because this is a time of year where a whole bunch of sports are kicking off at the same time. You got right. baseball, which is wrapping up. You got the NBA preseason kind of coming along. The NHL has already started, which is interesting. You got people talking about golf because of Tiger Woods with the Ryder Cup right. and that type. And then we got the NFL, and then we have college football. But the thing that's interesting to me is college basketball is about to start too.
Wow.
So it's like this is the time of year where you just have everything just coming at one time.
Right.
That being said, as we go, you guys will each have a topic that we will have a final comment on. So we'll wait for that for a minute because I still want to talk about this NFL thing going on. Because we haven't talked about Le'Veon Bell. And everybody's talked about it. That's why we kind of stayed away from it for the majority of the show.
Right, right. Understandable.
Ray wrote a story on, and the title of the story was, and he doesn't know this yet, unless he looked at the website.
I saw it.
I like that. Will the Bell
told. It was better. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Which I thought that was kind of hot. Because
very hot.
When reading his story, you'll see it's like, Will the Bell told? Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. Ray said, if I'm not mistaken, Vince, I think you and I were cool with Le'Veon coming back week 10. Or was it you and I were cool with – no, okay.
Yeah, was
cool. It was you and I, right? Yeah. And then Ray was saying, no, he's going to come back before week 10. Mm-hmm. Well, Ray's right because he's supposed to be coming back by week 7.
Right.
But this is the little – what do you call it? A catch, I think. If he comes back – he's coming back after the bye week.
Right.
So now is he serious and comes back at the beginning of the bye week – knowing that there probably won't be much work, but he'll be on with the team.
Which is
and
smart.
He can get in his workout.
Right. Yeah.
So that he catches up with the team when the team comes back getting ready for the next game.
Against Cleveland.
Or does he wait for the end of the bye week and then come in right the week up that they're preparing for the football game for the next game?
I really believe it's going to be at beginning. Right. Just so it can line up with that bye week. Mm-hmm. He can get himself acclimated.
Right.
With his teammates, with his workouts and everything. And because, it makes me wish, honestly, I could be down there because they're going to surround that dude when he walks into that Southside hair corner. So I look forward to that week.
Are they going
to
surround him with hate? Or are they going to surround him with love?
Oh, no. You know what? And let me clarify. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I think it's going to be with love. They're going to work all that out because it's about the season at this point.
You're talking about the players.
Yeah, the players. Now, as far as surrounding him, I'm talking about the media persons. I wish, but I think that at this point, you have a team that's really need to get their particulars proper, like my barber used to always say, with a running game that, oh my gosh, James Conner only had 19 yards rushing. For some reason, the offensive coordinator, Randy Fichtner, does not use the rest of his running backs, which is just driving me nuts.
But it seems to me that they're not interested in running the ball a lot.
They need to cut that madness out. But it's true.
I mean, I know as when I was watching the game, I saw at the half, I think Ben had already attempted 28 passes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on pace for 56. I mean, that's throwing the ball a lot.
Yeah, especially if you average that each game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why Bell, honestly, and I never questioned, you know, I'm not ever going to question his skill set on the field. Just wanted him to get on the field. He'll be a shot in the arm for Pittsburgh, period. He will, especially going up against Cleveland.
Well, I see why he held out. I had no problem with him holding out, coming back, during the bye week. You look at Earl Thomas's situation.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, that's another topic.
Yes, sir.
But what was up with the finger?
Yeah, he needed.
Because, well, the way I looked at it was, he was mad that, this is why he wanted his long-term deal. And if you weren't going to sign him to a long-term deal, trade him to someone who's willing to pay him, because he is one of the easy top five safeties in the game.
I give you that.
So he wanted to get paid so he would have that financial security, and now is a huge question mark.
Yeah.
Is he done for the year?
He broke his leg, right?
Yeah, he broke his leg.
I think he's done for the year.
He's done, yeah.
And then you have to, so now you have a guy who's going to be fighting for a job next year. Is Seattle going to open up the bank for him?
They ain't going to do it.
Probably not.
It's going to be Dallas because they wanted him in the first place.
But there's going to be questions about what type of player is he now.
We know injuries happen, and I'm not making light of a broken leg, definitely. But he has enough tape, to justify offers and suitors, for the offseason.
You say that.
Beginning with Dallas.
Then people have to be willing to, to open up the bank and say, yeah, I trust what he's done in the past. Mm-hmm. And he's going to still be that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, that's why I was absolutely okay with players using the only leverage they have to get their deal, get their money in place so that something like this doesn't happen. So if Bell comes back, I don't expect him to do what James Harrison said and fake an injury. So you don't get hurt. But I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's, to me, from a player's perspective, this is exactly what you're dealing with when you don't have financial security going forward.
I tell you. I mean, yes, the CBA does allow players to do that. Well, if they're under the franchise tag anyway as a free agent. But I don't know, man. I just have my different opinions on it. Yes, financial security. And yes, because the option's there. If the option wasn't there, then he'd been on the field, period. He wouldn't have been crazy enough to hold out.
And we're talking about two players who, again, are basically in the top five of their position. Le'Veon Bell is top five back. Earl Thomas, top five back. You have guys who, and they're approaching those years where, even though I think Bell is only 26, people are questioning. He's 26, 27.
Yeah, I think it's 27.
He's approaching that 30-year-old mark, and I think the Steelers didn't want to commit to him for a couple of reasons. They didn't want to pay him that much money in the first place. They didn't value him at that dollar figure that he's looking at. And they thought that, they had a couple running backs, in particular James Conner, who was waiting to prove himself. They felt, James Conner was good enough to come right in and be similar to Le'Veon Bell in terms of production, mm-hmm. not skill set.
Right, in terms of production.
And it hasn't worked out that way.
No, it hasn't, especially in that game against Baltimore.
Speaking of Thomas, though, he re-broke his tibia, so that's the second time. And he's 29 years old.
Yeah.
So that could be, and the Kansas City Chiefs were going to try to get him. So that would have been interesting to see him back there.
That'd have been scary.
With Eric Berry, if him and Thomas would have been in the same secondary, that could have been interesting, very interesting. But I want to ask you guys this question before we go and run out of time. Ray, what was your sports story this week?
My sports story this week is, you know, I'm thinking about Aaron Donald with the LA Rams. I mean, another person that held out, and he got his monies. And just to see the way that young man is playing, you know, it makes me proud because I remember him back in Penn Hills when he played with my nephew. He played for Pitt, snatched up all those awards, all those defensive awards. And to see him with the Rams doing what he's doing and then seeing the team get better, I'm very impressed with him. And he could probably do it again. And it was so funny. I forgot who they played a couple weeks ago. But he took that quarterback and just threw him aside like a sack of potatoes. So I like what he's doing. And Sue as well as his counterpart. So I really believe, and I can say that right now, that if the season ended today, that the Rams are the team to beat. And it's a possibility that they could be holding up the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Now we're saying, you know, after, you know, we're going into week five, but I'm just saying, they're impressive. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, I mean, Marcus Peters, I know he's not, I mean, whether he's still injured or not, but just look at how that team is together. I'm impressed.
All right, Vince, what you got?
as this football season, college football season, is approaching the midway point, I wanted to have some 2018 Heisman hopefuls. And as I was going through my list, it turned out that all the players are quarterbacks. And I'm intrigued by all these guys. I want to make sure that a couple of guys I've already caught a glimpse of. I think leading the pack out of West Virginia is Will Grier. Is man, he is lighting it up. Another quarterback for the number one Crimson Tide, Tagliavoa, Kyler Murray out of Oklahoma. Dwayne Haskins, who with the come from behind victory over Penn State. And my dark horse for right now for the Heisman hopefuls is quarterback at UCF, Mackenzie Milton.
And he shouldn't be a dark horse because last year he lit it up and led him to an undefeated season.
Right.
I get
but,
it.
But to me, he's going to be for a lot of the reasons why, you know, like people didn't want to give UCF the national championship, even though they won a national championship last year. He was at the center of that. But, you know, their schedule, you know, we talked about that last year. They play a similar schedule, you know, this year. So I think the strength of schedule is going, it could work in his favor, work against him. Mm. But I like him as a player. I mean, I watched him last week against Pitt, and he was phenomenal. So, he's my dark horse. So I'm gonna keep an eye out on him all season long. Cause I think it's gonna take a lot for him to surpass some of these high profile players ahead of him. Will Grier out of West Virginia, Tagliavoa, Dwayne Haskins, and Kyler Murray. But keep your eyes out for him.
Wow, that's hot. Yeah, I like that one. Real quick, as we close out the show in the fourth quarter, is that on Thursday of this week, the Black College Hall of Fame, the National Black College Hall of Fame, they announced the 25 finalists for this year's class of 2019. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 2018. And if you don't know what the Black College Hall of Fame is, it was actually founded back in 2009 by quarterback James Shaq Harris, who played for the L.A. Rams, came out of Grambling State, and Doug Williams, who everybody knows from winning the Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins. They got together and they founded this project to preserve the history and honor of the greatest football players and coaches and contributors from historically black colleges and universities. For those of you who don't know, that's what HBCU stands for, historically black colleges and universities. And there have been 77 inductees since the inception, including Mel Blount, James Harris, Willie Lanier, Art Shell, Doug Williams, and they serve as trustees. For me, Coach Willard Bailey is on this list. And when I was at Norfolk State back in the day, he was the head coach at Norfolk State at that time, and he had coached them to a winning football team. Another interesting fact about Coach Belly is he actually coached at St. Paul's, which is no longer open, St. Paul's College. And he also coached at Virginia Union. And I think with a lot of people, and also Joe Taylor, Coach Taylor I met when he coached at FAMU. And he also coached at Howard, which I didn't know, and I met Coach Taylor as well when he coached at Hampton University. And a player that stuck out to me was Frank Lewis from Grambling State. Frank Lewis, I know Vince and Ray.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Being Frank Lewis, he number 43.
On a Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers,
yeah,
he
won the first two rings. Then I believe he finished up with Buffalo, right?
Wow. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just that those 25 finalists were named. There will be six that actually make up the class of 2018. So that'll be interesting because I think they'll come back before the end of October. And announce, around October 25th, and announce the six finalists who will be inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame with the ceremony in next February in 2019. So I just want to leave it with that. Any information you want to know on that, just go to blackcollegefootballhof.org. Look up the Black College Football Hall of Fame. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Closing out another show on a Saturday morning. Urban Media Today Talk Sports. You know you got more sports coming your way all weekend long. Make sure you check out the Black College Football Report at noon, as well as Soul Take Live at 6 p.m. And then tomorrow, 9:30 a.m., you have Aubrey Bruce, Straight No Chaser, and Margot Hinton wrapping up the weekend. Well, wrapping up the Sunday at 6 o'clock, I apologize, with Gotta Give It Up. Then you have Brian Cook on the sidelines Monday morning, giving you an update on what happens with the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Have a great weekend. Next weekend, there's more of Where This Came From. Take care.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing with that? I get up, all right?
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio. For the very best in adult and urban music, listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.